We watched both parts of the two-part Tiger documentary on Tiger Woods on HBO. It's great. Find it on your HBO provider near you. We had Armin Katayan on the show yesterday. He's author of the Tiger Woods book, or Buck. Oh, that's where Buck came from, huh?
It is.
It's, in fact, the Tiger Woods Buck.
Correct.
Which is fantastic. You should read it. If you liked the documentary at all, and I think you did, you'll get a lot more with the book that they didn't. It seemed like they got into everything on the documentary. That's why I thought it could have been longer, for sure. Often I'll say one of those documentary series should have been shorter. But this one, I mean, they didn't have in there. Here's the focus I want to go with today, because there's a lot of things that we could do a lot more Tiger segments, I think, as the week goes on. The way he cuts people abruptly out of his life. Had a little sports talk last night in the home, because my wife watched this thing too. So we were discussing this, and the people she felt most sorry for. And so Tiger initially broke up with his high school girlfriend when he started to get real famous. He was winning the national junior, whatever that thing is, the amateur thing. But, you know, so he was very famous. He won that 2 or 3 years in a row. Everybody knew this is the next great golfer. So the fame was starting to swell around him. And he abruptly cut his relationship with her in the coldest way you could ever imagine, a mailed letter that sounded like it was written by a PR firm and probably written by his parents. And my wife pointed out something I did not see, but if you watch the documentary, she said the PS at the bottom that the girl didn't read, we have the audio. But if the girl read the letter, and the PS at the bottom said, I want you to return that necklace.
Jeez.
So there was even cold right to the end. So that's very, very cold. The documentary showed him, showed his caddy, Steve Williams, talking about their abrupt breakup. And it was after the Tiger meltdown, the fight with Elon, the legendary arrest, or at least the DUI or something. Not the DUI, but it was the golf club smashing the window.
Yeah, he was going to be off for a while, and Stevie didn't have anybody to caddy for.
Right. I'm going to victim blame there in a second.
Okay, good.
But,
I can't wait.
Not the abrupt breakup, but he kind of had to because it got so public with Rachel Yucatel. But Hank Haney, he's a local golf pro who we've had on our show, who's a great dude, who was Tiger's coach for many, many years. And apparently his time with Tiger ended in a very similar manner, which was now. When Tiger just says so and never spoke to him again. So a guy who was his closest confidant, who was extremely, you know, in the Tiger world, for one reason or another, that all just ended. And when it ended, there was no keep in touch a little bit. We'll stay friends. You know, Christmas cards. You're just now out of his life. The Steve Williams thing, because my wife said she feels most sorry for him of all those people. Oh, and then Elon is another one you can feel sorry for, but we'll get into that. The Steve Williams, the caddy, being cut out. So the story goes that he decided to, he was off for a while. Tiger was not only in trouble with the wife at the home, but, you know, had some physical problems as well. And so he was off for many, many months. And Steve Williams didn't have anything to do. One of the other pro golfers asked if he could, hey, would you caddy for me this weekend? Steve Williams called Tiger, said, hey, I was going to go caddy for this dude. Is that cool? And Tiger said, yeah, cool. And a few days later, one of Tiger's people called Steve Williams and said, if you caddy for so-and-so this weekend, you'll never caddy for Tiger again. He does not want you to do this. And Steve Williams thought, you know what? He can't really mean that. We've been friends for over a decade. I held him in my arms as he was sobbing uncontrollably after he won the major after his dad died. We're very good friends. He's just going through a spell here. I'm going to go ahead and caddy for him. It's no big deal. I'm still his guy. He never talked to Tiger again in his life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The last call they ever had was the one where Tiger said, yeah, go ahead and do it. I liken it a bit to Tiger's world is so big, and if you get in it, that is financially great for you. Number one, caddies get a percentage of winnings. So if you're Tiger's caddy, you're the richest caddy out there, especially during those days and during that decade. Tiger was cleaning up, and so was this caddy. I think of it like a mob lawyer. That mob never want the mob boss never wants to hear, oh yeah, I'll get to your thing right after I finish this other, I got another thing down at the courthouse with, The second I say I need you, I don't care if it's 4 a.m, you're here at that time. And Tiger's world was so, you know, tight, first of all, if you get in Tiger's world. Plus, Tiger had a caddy in the past. I can't remember his name. I think he had a nickname. Like, I'll probably mess it up. Was it like Fluff?
Yeah.
It was like a silly nickname, but he started to venture outside the Tiger orbit, and Tiger cut bait with him right away. Like, I'm the famous one here. You need to know your place in Tiger's world, but if you get in, that's big. It's going to be great. So he knew who Tiger was, Steve Williams. And despite the fact that he was under the impression they were air quote friends, because I don't know if Tiger has many of those, he had seen the way his other. He didn't financially need it. He knew Tiger is going to come back at some time. Tiger did not go to a podium and announce his retirement. He just was taking time off. I believe he should have just sat back and said, when you're ready, I'm ready. Tiger, in fact, in the documentary, it laid out, he wouldn't be clowning around with people at the course.
Right.
He did not mingle with competitors. He did not share secrets. And damn if he's going to share a caddy. A caddy is also someone, a strategist. It's someone you work with. It's someone who helps you decide club selection. Now, you have to do it, but he's evaluating the win. He's helping read the green. I really think that Tiger thought that was like a coach going to help another team or something.
Well, it's when you use the mob lawyer and the mob analogy, isn't the similarity that makes that, you know, comparable, the psychology that Tiger has always lived as if people were kind of trying to come at him and take something from him, and he views every little thing.
But if you're going to go work
enemy
with
competitor, and I don't know that most golfers think that
no.
way.
No,
so that's why.
But that's what built him into who he is, and that's why Rocco is happy to be in the mix at the end, where he is. I'm winning 19 majors. I don't want to hear about the hypothetical. Somebody was offering a hypothetical in that documentary. Well, what if you could come one short of Jack? And he said 19.
Yeah.
Well, no, the hypothetical is you get 100 wins or you win 17 majors, and he said 19. He won't even answer a hypothetical about him losing what he wants to do.
So with the
and that's what got him there. He ain't going to change now.
And Steve Williams knows all that.
Right.
So I am with you that I don't know that I would necessarily say that I think he should have stayed, but he definitely should go in eyes open and know that if you do go, odds are you're not dealing with most people. Most people get over stuff. You know you're dealing with a guy who you've never seen get over anything.
And Tiger,
so why would you?
Tiger's camp gave him a warning shot.
Yeah.
They said, if you... Now, it was a couple days later, and he thought he would have been betraying this other friend of his because I said I would caddy for you. But I'll tell you what, that guy can get another caddy. You say, hey, Tiger... If Tiger said no in the end, doesn't matter if it was the first time or second, Tiger said no. Friendship or not, I believe he shouldn't have caddied for someone else.
And Tiger was so much about his brand. I'm sure he didn't want his brand associated with another golfer.
Right, because that would have become a major news story.
Yeah.
That would have been leading, it would have been at least in SportsCenter that here's a sight you've never seen before. Steve Williams is caddying, you know.
Yeah.
And Tiger would not want to hear that. Yes, that's mingling with the opposition.
But what do you make of, and I know I could do a segment on this every day, because I definitely...
Well, we're going to, because I didn't get to Elon, and that's probably another 10 minutes.
What do you make of the new Tiger, who will chop it up with the boys and has a little camaraderie? And
I think as a human, he's probably becoming a better human, but that's not who I'm a fan of.
I know, but I'm saying...
I want to see him beat Jack's record still, and that... killer mentality to where he hates everyone and won't even talk to you is what got him there. And that's the Tiger that
I know
that I love watching.
But from a
as a human, I'm glad he's finding peace with himself and actually
he's got to be happier.
Yes.
He's got to be happy. I actually think even though it might keep him from winning, and I'm not as invested in this as you are, that it might keep him from getting to 19 or even from really being one of the best in the world. I think it's a cooler story from a human standpoint to see somebody who was the other way, saw that that can work very well in one element of their life, but ruins the other part. And while they're still alive,
yeah,
figures out that I need to change this, even if it cost me that. I had that. I'd like this now. To have that whole story, I mean, it really is mythology.
Yeah.
That's the and I almost think if he just came back, and when he came back, he was the same, just like a-hole. And even if he caused him to win a few more tournaments, I think that would be a lot less interesting story to me.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting because it's always been interesting to think, okay, he did have wonderful talent. What if he would have acted friendly to people? And could he still have done that? I don't know.
And you know the other thing that I find is a little bit misleading about this, and Armin Katayan touched on this a little bit. I think we, as fans, conflate the song because it's funny. And all the skirt chasing with his downfall. His downfall is because of his body. Now, his body's downfall was related to his psychology, which was constant tinkering and more practice than anyone ever. But, like, there's an alternate universe where that happens even if he's still married with kids.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I would have... I kind of would have liked to see how that would have played out.
Because he beat his body up.
Right.
The Navy SEALs training didn't really... They didn't focus on that as much as they did in the book. But
the one thing they said, though, was that injuries cause injuries.
Yeah.
And if you've known anybody...
And when you get into your 30s, that changes, too.
Yeah.
So his mentality when he's in his young 20s to fight through something that's a pain is not the same when it's a knee bone on bone.
Yeah, and that hurt to watch, just watching him do that. But I just wish... I wish there was a situation where you could see, like, what would it have been like if his body held up, but he also had the pee?
Right,
or
I think he would have still won
a
major every 2 years instead of none in 10 years.
Right.
Or a couple majors, yeah.
But you'll hear people say, like, oh, he was just so locked in because he was trying to... That was his solace. That
right.
was his place. Everything outside was chaos, but in between the lines, that was solace. I'm like, yeah, maybe, but also look at him falling down when he takes a...
Right. Yeah. No, back issues for him, the knee issue, that's real.
He aged quick in that documentary.
But I think that's the thing is that if you start at 6 months old and you're taking... It's almost like you have a finite number of swings, or in any sport. You see a lot of these things, right? Pitchers, the kids that are hailed as the million-dollar arm at 7 years old, very rarely are able to throw.
The tread on the tire wears down.
The Kerry Wood.
Yeah.
Kerry Wood. Boy, bringing it back to baseball. It's always Blake.
You know me.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.